And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we consider all of the readings that are before us this morning, but honing in on the application of this incredible event and day, Ephesians 1, verse 22, where we hear that he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Wow, what a powerful testimony and revelation of Jesus Christ in the position that he holds as true God and continually also as true man. What an incredible day. And now as we celebrate the ascension, it leads us to go back to that event and to look at the apostles and to consider what they have been through. You know, Jesus had died, he rose again, and then for 40 days he appeared a number of times to individuals, to groups together, even to over 500 at one time, we hear in Scripture. So a lot of events going on during that 40-day period that there could be no doubt that this Jesus who died was alive and well in the flesh also. And then on the 40th day, we hear of this incredible event as Jesus is standing there again, dialoguing with the apostles, and then he ascends in bodily form, in the flesh, into the clouds, and goes out of sight. Now, it would seem like Jesus is going away, and you would think there would be great grief and sorrow in light of what the apostles had already been through. We saw the horrifying conditions of Holy Week, Good Friday, and then there certainly wasn't great joy when their Lord was taken from them. But here we hear from Luke's gospel account that there is great joy among the apostles. And so there's a huge shift, even though there's still some confusion. They're still asking about when the kingdom is going to be established. But in the midst of this, there are incredible things that are happening among the apostles and within the church. It's quite a contrast from Jesus' death, his crucifixion. Have you ever considered that none of the apostles were allowed to see Jesus rise from the dead? You know, really only the eyewitnesses to that account were the guards that were posted at the tomb. Now certainly Jesus then appears to them and makes it very evident to them that it's him and that he's not a ghost or a spirit. He points out his flesh, his wounds, his feet, and even to convince them more, as though they still may doubt, he ate with them to convince them that it is me in the flesh. And that is so crucial. You can't miss the point that Jesus wants us to know that he remains in the flesh as true man. And then we have the ascension. And here, Jesus allows them to see him ascend into the clouds, into the heavens. An incredible event. Can you imagine how different it would be if Jesus would have on the 40th day just vanished from them? If he would never have shown up again visibly in their presence? What an incredible day for the apostles to eliminate doubt. And what an incredible day for you and me still today as we reflect upon this historical event. And the good news is that they had great joy, and so do we. Why? Because they knew and trusted, as we do, that Jesus is presently reigning as king and that he will continue to remain active and engaged in the life of his church now and for eternity. You see, the good news that we celebrate this morning is even though Jesus vanished in the sense of not being able to see him with our physical eyes as he went into the clouds, the good news is that Jesus is never going away. He's never going away. As Jesus promised his church then and now, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the good news is certainly refreshing in the times of our culture that we live in. Because the attempt is to push Jesus out of everything, right? It's just we want Jesus to go away. Have you ever thought about this? Why there's such an intense effort to just try to eliminate Jesus from everything? It's because everyone knows that he's real. He's not a myth. He's not some creation of man that came up and at some point will go away. He's not a mythical character. You know, you can bring up Superman or characters of Star Wars, or you can talk about the great pumpkin in Peanuts, and that's not going to bring up a great controversy, is it? In fact, I bet graduates could speak those names openly at graduation ceremonies, and it wouldn't be an issue at all. But you cannot mention the name of Jesus. Why? Because he is real. And the majority of the world do not want to acknowledge nor submit to his authority. And that's where it really lies. You know, last week, Lindy and I were involved in a couple graduations. One was high school in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, conservative Nebraska. And yet, our niece was valedictorian, and so she gave a speech, and afterwards we visited with her. She had a great speech. And I asked her what the process was, and said, well, we can write our speech, then we hand it in to the board. The board censors it. They rewrite portions of it. They cross out different things that we have put in there. And they made it very evident and clear you can't talk about Jesus. And to secure things, then they type up the speech. And it's on the podium for us to read. Wow. What happened to free speech, veterans? But you see, that's where we're at today, and especially in light of Jesus. And then we go to our granddaughter's graduation in kindergarten, and it was the cutest thing. Each of the kids was, there were 25 kids. Each one came to the mic, and they shared what they wanted to be when they grew up. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, I wonder if they censor kindergartners. I wonder if one of those little kids would have stood up and said, I want to tell all the world about Jesus, if they would have been allowed to do it. I didn't hear any of them say that. And then just doing a little research on the internet, and really you don't have to research far, you can just read the news every day. But in recent years, two organizations that put a joint report together, the Liberty Institute and the Family Research Council, they're organizations that you can go to in Supreme Court issues, and especially with reference to us as Christians wanting to simply use the name Jesus. But here's some of the cases that they've recorded that have been brought to them. A federal judge threatened incarceration to a high school valedictorian unless she removed reference to Jesus from her graduation speech. Not a shock at all. City officials prohibited senior citizens from praying over their meals, listening to religious messages, or singing gospel songs at a senior activity center. These are real cases. A public school official physically lifted an elementary school student from his seat and reprimanded him in front of his classmates for praying over his lunch. Following U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs policies, a federal government official sought to censor a pastor's prayer, eliminating references to Jesus during a Memorial Day ceremony honoring veterans at a national cemetery. And I mean, I've got a whole list here. We could go on and on. That's just a few that I've point out of many. And really, what is that? It's, we're going to push you away, Jesus. We're not allowing you in our culture. You're not here anymore. You know what the good news is? Yes, he is. Because he is God, and he is not going away. No matter what human beings may attempt to do, no one can force Jesus out. He is the authority. The question is, do we as Christians really acknowledge and believe that? And that's the point I think we need to consider this morning. And to be comforted by Jesus' promise to his church in the Good Shepherd dialogue that Jesus has in John chapter 10, the Lord promises to you and me as his precious little lambs that no one can snatch us out of our Lord's hand. So no matter how turbulent things become, no matter how intense the battle becomes of people attempting to push Jesus out of our culture and maybe even out of our lives, cannot be done. And the Lord protects his church, and he always will. But the question is that evident in your life and mine? In other words, by the way that you approach life, with the attitude that you have towards life, does it clearly reveal the Lord of life? And I think about things like fear. Find yourself caught up in fear. Certainly a lot of things we could be afraid of in our current times. Or even more so, maybe worry. You ever find yourself just losing sleep, tossing and turning in worry? Or how about sorrow, just being consumed by sorrow? Or how about losing hope and starting to dance with that down that path of despair? You see, these things can really encroach upon our lives as Christians if we lose sight of the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done. A key thing in the gospel account this morning is that after the apostles witness this incredible event, what is the first thing that they do? Did you hear it? While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple worshiping, blessing, praising God. They were connected in the word. They were connected in worship. They were connected in fellowship. Why? Because of the joy and the faith that was the foundation of that joy in Christ. And they needed the nurturing. Can you imagine being them in that time? Just a few days ago, they were locked away in a room because they thought the Jews were going to come after them and kill them next. And now they're openly worshiping God, and they're doing it with a joyful spirit. They were nurtured, and we need that nurturing. Because we can easily, quickly lose sight and lose the energy and the confidence and the courage. Can't do it alone. We cannot do it alone. But it's only through the means of grace, word and sacrament, that the Lord continues to feed us. But the good news is Jesus is currently reigning as King. No matter what the world says, no matter what we may think, it's not dependent upon us. It's totally dependent upon who Jesus is and what he has done and God's approval of what he has done as true man. Have you ever thought about God's approval? Ascension really is a visible recognition and revelation of God's approval of his Son in the flesh and what he has done. Remember Jesus, when he was baptized, he enters his public ministry, and by being baptized, he identifies himself with you and me, the sinner. He didn't need baptism. Baptism needed Jesus. And at that baptism, we hear the approval of his Father in heaven, who says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And then we fast forward towards the end of Jesus' public ministry on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there again, we hear the voice of God from heaven. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then we follow Jesus to the cross where he died for the sins of all people, including you and me. And where he rose again victoriously from the grave. And even though we don't hear those words from our Heavenly Father, the fact that Jesus died and rose again is clear evidence that this work was approved by God. And of course, now before us today, the Ascension. A critical historical event, putting the nail in to hold everything firm without doubt that yes, definitely God has approved what his Son has done. And so here we see it. He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is from Ephesians that we heard this morning. And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That is a place of authority, by the way. And far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things, the church. Think about that. That is the reality today. And it's the reality tomorrow. It's the reality for eternity that Christ reigns. And we as Christians know that by God's grace through faith. And how blessed we are, because it changes totally the way that we see life and the way that we approach it. We don't have to have our heads down apologizing for being Christian. We can speak in the public square, and we need to. The Lord's Great Commission. That's what we're here for, is to share the word, to share Christ. It is our calling. And we can do it with authority. Why? Because we go with the Lord's proven authority. Do you believe that? See, that's the crucial question. Do you believe it? You know that Jesus ascended in the flesh? Think about how this has changed in his ministry to us. When Jesus was on earth in the flesh, he was in place and in time, right? So he was isolated to a location. After doing a miraculous event like the feeding of the 5,000, remember, the crowds were seeking out Jesus. They were looking for him because he was in a local place. Do you see how it's changed now? Jesus is still in the flesh, but now, as we hear from Ephesians, he fills all in all. He is present everywhere, and we can't even begin to comprehend this, but he's present everywhere in the flesh. In a moment, we're going to be receiving the Lord's Supper, and in with and under the bread and wine, what are we receiving? The very body and blood of our Christ, who was sacrificed upon the cross. And it's not only happening here at Trinity, it's happening at Gloria Christi, at Redeemer. It's not only happening at churches here in this community, it's happening in congregations simultaneously all over our nation and throughout the world. And our Lord is present even in the flesh everywhere. Would you agree that's a pretty powerful thing? It's a reality. And it's a reality for you and me. And so when we get caught up in fear and worry and sorrow and start to dance with despair, think about the position that we are in as God's children. We live under the authority and the reign of the Almighty God and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of this, we may then approach every day confidently. You know, last week we heard tragic news about Coptic Christians in Egypt. And several were slaughtered on a bus traveling to a Christian event. And you may ask, well, where was Christ there? And I tell you, Christ was and is right there. And those who died in that gruesome attack, they're in glory now. They're in heaven. They're seeing the Lord with their own eyes. And the church that remains in Egypt stands in the confidence of their Lord's love and presence among them. And it is no different for you and me. The Lord is fighting for us. He has all power and authority. He is and will be our King forever. He is always actively engaged in our lives. Give praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is not going away. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.